Wow. All right. So I'm going to ask you two questions. The first one is this: what makes a Christian different than any other person on the planet? We love the Lord. I heard someone say Jesus. Any salvation? You guys good with those answers? Always smiling. Anybody can smile, though. Forgiven. People can be forgiven in the world, too. We have eternal life. Saved. All good answers. You what? Reunited with the Father. That's a good one. Glory. Yes. We're seated in the heavenlies. So I'm going to tell you the one key thing that makes you different from everyone else in the world. No matter what religion they are serving, no matter what education they have, no matter how they've been trained, there's something that makes you very different than everyone else in the world. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and they do not. That's what makes you different. It's not education. It's not Bible verses. It's not kindness. Those are all manifestations. But the thing that makes you different is the Spirit of God in you. And do you know he's a person? He's a real person. And that Spirit of God, you know, he is the one who makes us who we are. On our own, we can't do anything. We can't, but by the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. Right? So I'm just going to pray and then we'll begin. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that you have written a book that we can study, that we can read, that we can really get to know your attributes, your qualities, what you expect, what you've done, history, so many things. You've written it down for us, Lord. And Father, this is our springboard into all things heavenly, into all things Jesus. And Father, I just ask that you would just open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to understand what your will is so that these words can transform us from the inside out, that we can walk in your glory and your power, well-pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that was my first question. You guys are going to know this answer. Are you ready? This one you're going to be, okay. Who in the Bible was the youngest person ever baptized in the Holy Spirit? John the Baptist. You're right. See, ding, 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 ding. When was he baptized? In the womb. That's absolutely right. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's look at John for a minute. You know, in the Old Testament, just so you guys know, that in the Old Testament, we're going to go to chapter 1. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person and then leave. They'd come upon, the Spirit was upon them, and they would prophesy. And then he would leave. Okay? And that's why David cried out in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 51, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Because he knew that the Holy Spirit came and went. And it was the Holy Spirit's privilege to choose who, when, where, and how long. And so the Holy Spirit was not a fixture in people's lives until Jesus Christ. And so that was the promise of the Old Testament for us today. It was always this promise that God promised us that he was going to give us his Spirit. And he fulfilled that in Jesus. So look at a couple of verses with me. And you guys know all this stuff, but I just want to just go over it again for a moment. So in Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "For he will be great in the sight of our Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That was Gabriel prophesying to Zacharias that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his womb. But this was an exciting time. Look in verse 35. And this is Mary is being spoken to. And the angel answered Mary, I'm throwing in her name for you, and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that impregnated Mary, right? You guys are all familiar with this. And then she bore Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 41 in chapter 1. We're jumping along. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. You guys know the story, right? When Mary went to go visit Elizabeth, and they were both pregnant. Okay? And it happened that Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's when John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It was like, whoa, Lord! Right there in the womb. He got it. First one, the youngest one. And so we have Elizabeth now is filled with the Holy Spirit. John is filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's go a little further. Go to verse 67 in chapter 1. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. So there was a lot of Holy Spirit being spread around in Zacharias' family, right? The father was filled, the mother was filled, and the baby was filled. And then John the Baptist went on to be the herald for Jesus' coming. And he lived a holy life. You guys with me? Okay. So let's move along just a little bit further. So then comes Jesus. And Jesus started walking on the world. And he came in. We're going to go to John chapter 3. No, let's go to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, verse 33, this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus has just been given a title. And what title is that? The baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus, who the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, that became Jesus' father, Father God in heaven. Jesus is now born of the Spirit. Yes. And even his presence in the proximity of other people, they're getting born of the Spirit. And now he is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Do you see his relationship with the Holy Spirit? Okay. Luke 3. I just want to confirm this in 2 or 3. And Luke 3, we're going to look at verse 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I will come, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, if you go down to verse 22, do you have that, Mary? I don't know if you gave you 22. It said, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay? So now, did Jesus heal people on his own? All these heads. To you that are in camera world, everybody's going like this. And that's the right answer. Okay? Jesus, of himself, as a flesh and blood man, did not heal people. But with the Holy Spirit, he did. You guys with me? Okay? So then, do I need to go? I'll go. Acts, we know that in Acts, go to the book of Acts, that's where the Holy Spirit was poured out on everybody. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went, right? And now we're going to see that when Jesus ascended, because you're going to see in John chapter 14, he's going to say that when he goes to the Father, that he'll give the Holy Spirit. You guys know that? That's in the Bible, John. Okay, so then Jesus, when he went to the Father, then he gave the Holy Spirit and then poured out the Holy Spirit where? Upon who? Actually, he poured out the Holy Spirit into the whole world. He gave the Holy Spirit. He poured it out without measure. And now in Acts, this is the time when it's taking place. And it's not just anyone. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. So in Acts chapter 1, it says, Jesus is saying in verse 4, and he, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Again, I shared with you that the promise of the Father was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What do you receive when you get the Holy Spirit? Power. All you guys know this stuff, right? I just want to lay this foundation. Then in chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. I'm just going to paraphrase this. So in chapter 2, Pentecost came. The Holy Spirit was given in cloven tongues of fire, dancing upon men's heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And it says about 3,000 people were added to the church that day. That's a lot of Holy Spirit power. Okay? So then let's go on a little further. So the Holy Spirit's poured out. Go to chapter 3, and now Peter. This is where it gets down to you and me. Because it's really easy for us to pray for somebody, lay hands on them, and think that two things. Either one, that I have something to do with it, or two, maybe God will and maybe God won't. It's easy for us to think those two things. And I want to let you know, we need to remove those from our minds. So how many of you are born again? Okay, how many of you have the Spirit of God in you? Perfect. Chapter 3. Back up just a little bit. Did I give you chapter 3, Mary? Okay, chapter 3. I'm actually going to just start from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called what? Beautiful. To take alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, and John Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that he was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's Greatly Amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded and said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look at us in so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" That's pretty exciting stuff right there. So very famous. A lot of people preach this message here, but we need to get this. Peter was absolutely convinced that when he prayed for this guy was going to get healed. Yes or no? People thought it was Peter that did it, right? But Peter, what did he say? "It wasn't by my own power that I did this. And it wasn't by my own strength that I did this. But I did do it. It was by the Lord Jesus Christ," right? By the Holy Spirit in him. So, what is it that qualifies you to heal anybody? Louder, please. Jesus, Bruce says. Anyone else say anything else? Say that again. Holy Spirit. Echo that. Holy Spirit. Yes. Peter says, "Hey, this power didn't come from me. It came from the Holy Spirit." Okay? So then, I'm just going to pause here for now and just talk. So then, if we're not seeing results when we pray for people, what would we attribute the problem to? Since you don't have the power to heal anybody. Anybody, shout it out. I like interaction. Huh? She thinks it's her. It's not. You don't have any power. Huh? Them. The people receiving. They're not receiving. No, you're good. Okay, let me tell you a story. There was this guy I knew named Fred. And Fred was married to a really wonderful wife. We're going to call her Rachel. And Fred and Rachel had this beautiful home in Macon. And Fred was hungry. And he yells out to his wife, Rachel, it's coming up about dinner time, and she's getting ready to cook some dinner. And he hollers out there and says, "Rachel, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" He waits a minute, doesn't hear anything. So then he comes out of the back bedroom and he walks down the hallway a little bit and goes, "Rachel, what are we having for dinner tonight?" And he doesn't hear anything again. So then he walks down out into the kitchen, sees her there at the sink, working at the counter, getting ready to cook dinner, and he goes right up to her and says, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" And she says, "Fred, for the third time, chicken." The problem was, it wasn't that Rachel didn't hear him, it was that he didn't hear his answer, right? So, what did he have to do to hear the answer? He had to get closer. He had to get closer. So then, if you are not operating in the power of God, and you have no power, and it's the Holy Spirit that you're baptized in who is the power, if people are not getting healed, what's the problem? Belief? Anything else? Not close enough to whom? Yes. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? How's your relationship with God the Father or the Son? They're all one. We all know that, right? The Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus who baptizes you, but Jesus even says it's the Father who's going to send the Holy Spirit on the earth, right? They're all one. So if God is the one that heals people and you don't see the results, and we can all listen, this is everybody, a blanket statement. Nobody's excluded from this. If we don't see the results, why? So could it be our relationship with the Lord? Now, I'm not saying anyone doesn't have a beautiful relationship with the Lord. I'm just doing a teaching, okay, about getting better results when we pray. Just getting better results, okay? So I want to use a couple of things that we use. How do we get closer to the Holy Spirit? How do we get closer to Jesus? How do we get closer to God the Father? I'm not picking or choosing. I just know that some people go to the Father in the name of Jesus when they pray. And they don't even really say much about the Holy Spirit. They just, like he's a power on the earth to them. Some people like to talk to Jesus and they enjoy their relationship with Jesus. Other people fellowship with the Holy Spirit and consider him a person and walk with him and talk with him because they look at the Holy Spirit as their teacher, as the one who leads them and teaches them. And so they have a relationship with the Holy Spirit so they can be taught by the Holy Spirit. Different people have different points of view, and I'm not saying any of them are wrong. I'm just saying that we all come a different way. So how do you build a closer relationship with God? If you want to see more manifestations of God in your life, some people, again, gloves off, some people aren't interested in building a closer relationship with God. They just want to know that they're getting into heaven and they're going to do their best to be a good person by what they consider or have been taught is a good person, and they're going to just do that in life because they expect that they're going to have an entrance into heaven, and then the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering will be ended at that time in their life. And that's what they believe, and that's fine. Other people believe that everlasting life comes to you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that everlasting life comes into you, you can experience that abundant life now on the earth, but it doesn't come from you. It comes from God. So the relationship with God has to be cultivated. And it says in Peter that these things grow, this divinity grows in you through the knowledge of God. So the more you know him, the more his life is going to be built on the inside of you. So how do you, I'm not asking for an answer on this one, just think, how do you get closer to God? What's your routine? What's your practice? Do you even actually want to know God? Now, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but some people are very busy and they just kind of expect God to be there for them. And they just kind of expect God to be love and be there and help them in the hard times. And they don't really feel much of a requirement for themselves to seek him and find out what he wants and how he wants things to go. Some of us don't even know if the Lord has a favorite color. We don't even have a close enough relationship with him that we can talk to him and he talks back to us and we can have a conversation with him. Some people don't believe in that. They just don't. So I'm asking you, how do you get closer to God? What's your way? Some people choose worship. Yes? Some people love to come into worship. And that hour on Sunday, however long we have the worship service, or these two songs on Thursday, or whenever it is, or they put music on at home. But that's how their gate is open. Their doorway is open for them to have an intimate fellowship with God through worship. There's people that do it that way. If that's your way, that's wonderful. Then I'll ask you this question: how often and how long do you do it? Because it says in the Bible that, let me just look there now with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 5. I might be going to chapter 10. And I'm just going to start in verse 12 and read through 15. I know 16 and 17 is really famous. We use that a lot, but my point is in 15. So if we go in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 12, it says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you." Verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." Verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So he's saying that if we actually believe that we died in Christ and Christ is our life, he redeemed us, then our life doesn't actually belong to us anymore. It belongs to God. It also says in 1 Corinthians that he bought us at a price. He paid for us. We belong to him now. And so here it's saying that we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for God. So we all can be looking at ourselves. Do we live for God? Not are we a Christian? Not are we going to heaven? Not are we blessed in this life? That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, do we actually live for him? What's valuable to him? Again, how do we get closer to him? How do we see more of him operating in our lives? Okay? Because we can spend time as a church, and I'm telling you, I'm probably more guilty than anyone else that teaches of talking about who you are in Christ and what you've been given and what has been given to us and what we can accomplish. And it's easy for us, listening to only that side of it, to think that the power comes from us because now we're born again. But the truth is, this treasure is in earthen vessels. It is. It's the Lord that does it. It's not you and me. Not even Jesus did it by himself. Okay? And so always it's God who does the manifesting. It's always God. So if we're living unto the Lord and we're spending our time for him, looking at what does it he wants and how he's living, the closer we can get to him, and I'm talking about relationally, not experientially, well, experientially too, because he's in you and he'll never leave you and never forsake you. He's like a fountain that rises up inside of you, right? And he spills over. But if we're not experiencing that, if that's not our experience, what's the rub? What's blocking that? Because he promises that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will be like living waters that flow out of our bellies, right? He'll spring up from within us and flow out of us. And it also says in another place that it's the joy of the Lord himself that is our strength, right? And that these are the things that are what causes us to feel the sensation of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying he operates through the feeling. I'm saying the feeling is a byproduct. He operates sometimes when you don't feel it at all. So I'm not saying that the feeling is the thing to seek, but it is a manifestation from that presence of God. How many of y'all been in worship and the Lord's presence got so strong while you're worshiping or in a prayer meeting that you started getting feeling a little woozy and drunk and kind of fun and laughy because the presence of God is just buzzing everybody, you know? And it says, don't you just love those moments? That's because all the wells are opening up at the same time. We're getting flooded with the presence of God because everybody's open to it at that time. Everybody loves that, you know? So how do you open that well that's in you? How do you open your well so that what's in the Spirit, because I'll tell you, all healing comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come topically. It comes from within, from the Holy Spirit working through your soul, which is your mind, your will, emotions. That's your on and off switch, your valve that lets it come from the Spirit through the soul to manifest in your body or come through your body to other bodies, okay? And so how do you operate more in that? We said worship, right? A lot of people are used to worshiping to get that relationship. How about praying in tongues? Some people pray in tongues to do that, right? And I'm not saying one is exclusive of another. I'm just opening a few doors for you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. So I'm just going to ask a general question to you. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll come back to that if you like. So in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about walking in the light, but I want to start down in verse 15 of 5. So I'll just go ahead and read and then I'll come back. Are you with me? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What are the days? So I'm not going to say the days are satanic. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the days are evil in this, that you being evil can give good gifts to your children. How much more will a Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So it's not that they're evil because of demonic attacks on you. It's that it'll just drift, it'll sweep you away. It'll just cause your attention to be on it. And because the day causes it causes your attention to go onto it, that's what makes it evil. Okay? So the day itself, these days, can cause your attention to be off of God and onto whatever it is. And it's easy for us to drift from an intimate relationship with God because of the draws of the day. Okay? So he says in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So let's look at 19. Speaking to one another, or it could be speaking to yourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? Singing to God. Singing to God, singing hymns, singing any kind of song you like that causes you to bubble up on the inside to build relationship with God. And that bubbling up on the inside of that song that you love so much, or the song that you're making up from just the tune that's on the inside of you, that fills you also with the Spirit. Okay? But I don't think it does it separate from intention. It doesn't do it separate from intention. Your intention must be to get to know him more. Okay? Because you can sing a song and have an empty head. Nothing happens. I mean, you're singing a joyful song because, I don't know, the mood strikes you, you saw something, whatever. You like the pretty colors, and all of a sudden something flutters in your heart and you sing a song. that's not going to bring you closer to the Lord. You may experience that joy, but it's not bringing you closer to the Lord. Intention is part of it. How many of y'all have an intimate relationship with another person? Did it happen by accident? Did it happen just by osmosis, by being in the same room with the person? No. You have to want to get to know somebody, don't you? There's only so much you can know about a person by being in a close proximity to that person. But the closer you want to get to that person, guess what? The more intentionality has to be in place. The more intentional you have to be to get to know that person. Yes or no? Amen. And so what happens is sometimes the day being evil, it pulls our attention away from God. And so he's saying, sing to the Lord. Make up a new song to the Lord. Pour out your prayers in a song to the Lord. Whatever you want, just open your heart up to connect with him. And as you're connecting with him, that helps fill you with the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. Go to Jude. Chapter 1. I don't know why that's so funny. Because everybody knows there is no chapter 2. I remember I was up there on the computer one day where Mary is, and Pastor Trey or Minton or somebody had a verse, you know, and it said Jude, verse 20. So I'm in there and I'm typing Jude, verse 20. Jude verse 20, and it won't take it. It won't take it. And I open my Bible, I go, there is a verse 20. Okay, there is a verse 20. Why isn't it taking it? Because I didn't put chapter 1. Because subconsciously, everybody knows there's only one chapter, you know? But that was fun. All right. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Oh, building yourselves up. On your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Does it say praying in tongues? Does it say praying in tongues? It says praying in the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't it say praying in tongues? Because the evidence of when they were in Pentecost was tongues, right? And that was the evidence of the Spirit, was tongues. It even uses the word evidence. Right? So why did he say in the Holy Spirit? Just guess. It's a big boat, and it starts with an R. It's a relationship. Bruce, I knew you'd like that one. It was a relationship. Okay? Just praying in tongues only over a long period of time really does build you up. It really truly does. But it's through relationship with God. You're not doing it just to meet a quota. But when you're praying in the Holy Spirit in order to have relationship with God, not separate from God, but doing it with him in you, praying in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that gives you utterance. Do you understand that? It's by his Spirit that gives you the utterance to pray in tongue or the words to say, which we don't understand in our natural language, then we're being built up on the inside. Are you with me? And that's where revelations come. Not the book, the pictures. It comes from the Spirit. And as we're praying in the Spirit, as we're worshiping God, as we're experiencing the joy of the Lord in our day, then that stuff just flits right into our mind. It just flits right into our intentions. It just flits right inside an inspiration. It just gives us creativity and just inspiration, intuition to just move in the Spirit. And then John chapter 3 comes true in our lives, that like the wind, we don't know where it comes from or where it goes, so are those who are born of the Spirit, right? And when you're born of the Spirit, then as you're worshiping God and as you're praying in tongues and as you're fellowshipping with him, then these inspired thoughts come, these unctions come, and those lead us. Those are what set the direction for where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do, right? And so we need to stay filled up on that, because if we don't do that portion of it, what happens is the days are evil, your agenda and your schedule and your obligation and your duties and your routine habits of how you spend your day will become your focus. And then when you're called upon to pray for somebody, you have to really fast build yourself back up again, right? You have to really fast get focused again. You have to really fast connect with God again so that your prayer, something can happen. But if you stay built up in the Holy Spirit and you stay in relationship with Holy Spirit, then there's no surprise, because that unction, that inner movement, that creativity, that inspired direction from God, those thoughts that just pop in randomly that are different than what you're thinking about at the moment, those are God-inspired things. And that's what God is doing and wants to be doing at the moment, God in you, and then you can start seeing the manifestation of that stuff. When you do it long enough and consistent enough that you're really pressing into the kingdom of God to where it's more important and valuable to you to live in the presence of God than is to have a normal life and have God be with you. There's a difference. That when you press into it more and more, then you'll see more results all the time. I want to let you know that Jesus, even after all day ministering, he would go up on the mountain and spend the whole night praying in tongues and fellowshipping with the Father. That's when he was getting filled up, because he was pouring out all day long to everybody else. Do you see? His priority is the Father. He says, you know, I'm so close to this guy, I'm paraphrasing. This is a stumpism. Oh, I like the sound of that. That he didn't even speak his own agenda. He didn't even give you his own opinion. He was very careful to only be led by that inspiration of God, by that fellowship of God, to where he prayed in the Spirit, to where he knew the Old Testament so well inside and out, that as he spent time with God, the revelation of God would fill him, because he'd always been filled with the Holy Spirit, would fill him so that he could see and hear the Father so clearly that as the Father wanted somebody healed, Jesus went and healed that person. And as the Father wanted Jesus somewhere else, Jesus would go somewhere else. And a good example that we all know is when Lazarus died, right? Lazarus was Jesus' personal friend, real close to the guy. And all of us know that if our personal friend really had an issue, we pretty much drop everything and go to them when it's our personal friend. Our best friend, we'll even say. We'll go and do what we can to help them. He waited 4 more days. Because it wasn't up to him when to go, even when it was somebody that he loved very dearly. Because it was the Father who was leading him through that close relationship with him. So I would just submit to all of us, me included, in order to get more results and to see more of the manifestation of God, then we have to give more of us to him. Instead of just being on the receiving end, Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. Lord, bless me. Lord, get this bad weather away from me. Lord, keep me safe in these circumstances. Yes, do those things, but it's even better. Say, Lord, how are you today? Lord, what's on your heart? Lord, what do you want to accomplish through me today? How can I bless you today, Father? What is it that you would like accomplished in this world? when we can get more closer to that, it's amazing how we're giving God the preeminence in our life and not just hanging out with us. And in that preeminence that we give him, we can see more of him in action through us. Does that make sense? Okay. So my last word is, because it's 11:30 and I don't want to drool on, this book is another way to really get closer to God. The more we read this, not as a textbook necessarily, although we do need to study and show ourselves approved, but as we really see that this is a doorway to the Spirit of the Lord, this is a doorway to know our Father, and this is the doorway that we can use to open up our hearts that that which is in the Spirit can be revealed to us. So that through that knowledge, we can start seeing some transformation in the world around us. So that's three doorways that you have available to you right now. There's more, but I'm just going to leave on those three, which is the Word of God, worshiping God, and praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, praying through a relationship with the Spirit of God, in tongues or in your English language. But that's what's going to present you blameless before his glory, is being filled in the Spirit. You guys with me still? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you with us today. We just acknowledge that you are everlasting and that you desire to manifest Jesus through us. That you desire that this world would be transformed, that we would be the ones that would be the doorways for you to have earth be just as it is in heaven. And that, Father, as you reveal to us as it is in heaven, then we can transform the world around us. That we can change our speech to line up with yours, our thoughts to line up with yours, our ways to be your ways. And that, Father, you can be manifested through each and every one of us. So, Lord, don't condemn any of us through our slothfulness, Lord, or inactivity or a busyness, Lord. But, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just woo us closer, remind us that you're here, and just help us to be more focused on you, that put a song in our heart that we can sing or words in our minds that we can say, or, Father, joy in our heart, Father, that we can just come closer to you. Because, Lord, it's the love of God that draws us to repentance. It's your love, Father, that changes us from the inside out. And so, Father, I ask that if anyone in this room needs healing in their body, Holy Spirit, that you, Holy Spirit, just release it by your Spirit into them. Just flow into their flesh in any area. And Lord, when one of us is weak, that others would be strong, Lord. And where we're short-sighted or got side, you know, hit from the side by the devil or by some tragedy, Father, that the rest of us would come alongside of them and restore that one, Lord, and pray for that one and lay hands on them and heal them and be there for them, Lord, that we can all together grow up in one body, in one mind, in one Spirit. In you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.